Today we're reading Acts 4:1-37, I believe. Okay. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. What are we going to do with these men? They asked. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach it at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. After further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided before should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and bought the money and put it at the apostles' feet.
That was a rather long reading. There's quite a fair bit in Acts chapter 4 where we see Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. So this evening I'll be talking about the Holy Spirit and witness. And we'll be reading through Acts 4 to help us understand a few things. Now, some questions you might have asked so far, and we're going to take a look at, are... who is the Holy Spirit? What is witness? And what does the Holy Spirit and witness have to do together? As we'll come to know more, the Holy Spirit is in essence God and is his person manifest in creation. You may know that a witness in court may be called as evidence to attest to the truth of an event. A witness is one who gives evidence to others of a truth that they have heard or seen. The Holy Spirit enables Christians to give true witness, that is, evidence, by what they have heard and seen to the death and resurrection of Jesus. As we begin to explore this in Acts more, I'd first like to start through with a word of prayer, if you'd like to join me. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit might be at work through your church, to your glory, that your church is driven by the Holy Spirit to serve as witness to the death and resurrection of your Son, whom you sent for our salvation. It's in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. Well, what we just had read to us tonight begins with a big confrontation, where there are two very distinct and different sides. The two sides we read about are between the two apostles and the Sadducees, and they disagree fundamentally. On one side, we find two men, which are Peter and John, and on the other, we're given a list, not of names, but of titles and positions of authority. These are priests, the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees, which I've included their name as an authority because they're actually a Jewish sect, but they held a position of upper-class social power at the time. And this is because they maintained the temple in Jerusalem, and they undertook priestly responsibilities, such as performing sacrifices at the temple, which was the primary method of worship. The Sadducees were distinct from the Pharisees, largely in that they did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. When we know that Peter and John were teaching exactly this, the resurrection of Jesus, we can see that this is no small disagreement and that they're at head-to-head at odds. Peter and John fundamentally disagree with them because there could not both be a resurrection of the dead and no resurrection of the dead at the same time. It's either one or the other. It's not like cat people and dog people choosing to like either cats or dogs. You can have a person who owns both a cat and a dog. As we read from the beginning of Acts 4, we see this. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Well, when we see Peter and John speaking to the people and to a large crowd that was over but near 5,000, the Sadducees were fundamentally opposed to that which Peter and John were teaching. However, the reaction of the Sadducees to this was not to openly challenge them as they were speaking amongst the people, but instead was to remove Peter and John by placing them in prison overnight, so that the next day they might be put on trial for something. As we read on, we realize that we're headed into a trial, a court of law, where one might be called upon to bear witness. And so from verse 5, we can continue to read. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power or what name did you do this?" Well, those who are named here as presiding over Peter and John in this court of law are named to tell us the full gravity of what's actually going on here. Annas was an extremely influential high priest at this time, so much so that six of his sons actually went on to occupy the position of high priest after him and during his lifetime, many of whom are also with him at this trial of Peter and John. Annas and his family were Sadducees, and so did not believe in the resurrection of the dead, and they were also involved in the death of Jesus. You can imagine that Peter and John may have been very nervous, knowing that those presiding over their case were prepared to sentence them to death. What we continue to read, however, is remarkable in that Peter is called to witness before the court by the Holy Spirit. This witness is powerful and holds truth and meaning as we see its effects. From verse 8, we continue to read. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." We are told that Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, that is God, when he spoke, which tells us that Peter is speaking truth with the highest authority. Peter says that it is in the name of Jesus Christ, whom was killed and resurrected, that the man had been healed. Remember the question the Sadducees asked? By what power or what name did you do this? The very question itself the Sadducees asked was designed to intimidate and to draw out a response from Peter and John, to affiliate them with the same man that they had crucified, which was Jesus. So what is Peter giving witness to here in his response then? In Peter's response, he is able to speak from what we know to be from the Old Testament, Psalm 118, which I'd like to read just a little bit more for you as well. From Psalm 118, verse 22. "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad." Peter, with the Holy Spirit, gives witness to the death and resurrection of Jesus and is able to communicate who Jesus is from Psalm 118, clearly with those in the Sanhedrin, as they would have all known this psalm. The rest of that psalm clearly says that the Lord has done this, so we know that it is by his authority Jesus' resurrection took place, if you didn't already know that by his resurrection. Peter goes on to further state that by Jesus' death and resurrection, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. This is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. It is by the Holy Spirit the Christian is sanctified, which is set aside for God's work that his people might find him, which we see Peter doing by bearing witness to the death and resurrection of Jesus, who did this for our salvation. In John chapter 16, verses 7 to 14, we have a more direct explanation of this from Jesus. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as one that he will send once Jesus had left, and that this Spirit of truth would guide those it is given to truth. We see that Jesus tells of the overall role of the Holy Spirit to be working in creation and glorifying him. Continuing on from Acts verse 13, we can read, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and then conferred together. 'What are we going to do with these men?' they asked. 'Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have performed a notable sign, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn them to speak no longer to anyone in this name.'" The reaction we see here from the high priest and the others ruling in the Sanhedrin is rather strange. We see them affirm the truth of the situation, where they recognize that Peter and John have performed a notable sign that they cannot deny. However, they decide to rule that Peter and John no longer speak of Jesus for the same reasons that they crucified Jesus, that they saw him as a threat to their political and social position in the upper class. Reading on in verse 18, "Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, 'Which is right in God's eyes, to listen to you or to him? You be the judges. As for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard.' After further threat, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them, because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Peter and John, when commanded by effectively the High Court of Israel not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus, were not dishonest. They attested to the truth of what they were going to do when they left the Sanhedrin, and that is, they told them that they would continue to speak and teach in the name of Jesus. Despite this, they were released and let go. The command given by Israel's High Court here ultimately is rather foolish compared to the testimony of the Holy Spirit as Peter and John are threatened but in the end released with no punishment carried out. Continuing to read from verse 23. "On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. 'Sovereign Lord, they said, "You made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. We are reminded of the power of the Holy Spirit, which is given to God's people, that his will is done here on earth. When we know that the Holy Spirit is God in essence, then it is not surprising to realize and see the power of the Holy Spirit at work. For who holds the power to heal the sick and resurrect the dead other than God? It is the Holy Spirit that sanctifies us for salvation by Jesus. From what we read in Acts, the greatest effect we see of the witness of the Holy Spirit is not during Peter's and John's time in court. It is right at the beginning of the story where we see that those who had heard the message of their teaching grew to about 5,000. 5,000 came to believe the witness of Peter and John and the Holy Spirit to the death and resurrection of Jesus, so that those 5,000 might also be sanctified. Continuing reading on from verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all, that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and that it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So powerfully we can see the Holy Spirit at work here, that the unity it brings God's people here, that they would sell their own property and be so compelled by the Holy Spirit to pull together in unity that there were no needy amongst them because of the Holy Spirit. In Psalm 118, do you know the things that Peter spoke of? That Jesus' death and resurrection was for us, and that he is the cornerstone the builders rejected? Let me just finish by closing with a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, that by your grace today we may continue to know of your Son through the witness of your people by the Holy Spirit. Your Son, whom you sent for us to teach us and whom gave us his life, that we might be redeemed to come to a restored relationship with you. To know your glory in these things is wonderful. In Jesus' name, amen.